police calling all cars, attention all cars, broadcast 21 regarding a murder. The mutilated body of a young woman had been found on Montecito Street. That's all. Rosenquist.
Gentlemen, we are going to let you overhear a conversation between an inquisitive young man and an officer of one of the 262 Los Angeles radio cars.
Gee, I'd like to have a job like yours.
Well, Sonny, it does get kind of exciting sometimes.
How long does it take you to get to a holdup or something after Rosenquist tells you about it over the radio?
Well, they tell us at headquarters that it takes an average time of about 2 minutes and 25 seconds.
Boy, oh boy, that's traveling.
Pretty fast, all right. Lots faster than sure since they let us put this Rio Grande crack gasoline in our tank.
This conversation might have occurred in many other cities and counties in Southern California and Arizona. You, too, can get this police car performance for your car at no extra cost by switching to Rio Grande crack with tetraethyl. Just try a tank full tomorrow. Tonight, Chief James E. Davis of the Los Angeles Police Department has brought as his guest a distinguished peace officer whom he will introduce, Chief Davis.
Good evening, friends. In a recent statement broadcast throughout the state by Clarence Morrow, Chief of the State Bureau of Criminal Identification, the fact was made known for the first time in the history of the state that major crime is being reduced throughout California mainly as a result of better police methods and greater cooperation between peace officers. Tonight we bring you a story which tells more plainly than words how far-reaching the hand of the law really is, and which indicates the extent to which peace officers throughout the world cooperate with one another in order that justice may be made to prevail. In this city and county, the police department and the sheriff's office are the two law enforcement agencies constantly at work to protect your property and lives. The need for cooperation between these organizations is self-evident, and it affords me great pleasure to bring to you tonight the head of the sheriff's office, Sheriff Gene Biscalew, who played such an important part in the investigation of the crime and escape of Clara Phillips. I am happy to introduce to our radio audience, Gene.
Thanks, Jim. Good evening, friends. It is a pleasure for me this evening to be the guest of my friend, Chief Jim Davis of the Los Angeles Police Department. In past programs over this radio station, Chief Davis has assured you that there is always a perfect cooperation between the various law enforcement agencies in our county, as he did this evening. And I want to confirm these statements, because in my 27 years experience, I have never known a more harmonious relationship to exist between the different departments and police work. While the sheriff of a county has local jurisdiction in law enforcement matters, his responsibilities are not wholly limited to the boundaries of the county. It sometimes happens that he must assume responsibility in cases which take him into other parts of the state or country, and sometimes even into distant foreign lands. In the story which will be given you tonight, one of these cases is presented. It was necessary to follow the flight of a fugitive from Los Angeles to the Central American country of Honduras. In fact, this case was publicized in nearly every part of the world before the criminal was finally located. The United States has extradition treaties with other countries, and it often rests upon the sheriff of the county where the crime was committed to secure proper papers from Washington and serve them upon the government where the fugitive has taken refuge. This is not always a simple task, but I'm going to let you judge that for yourselves as you listen to the following program.
Thank you, Sheriff DeSalut. It is July 12, 1922. Clara Phillips, a trusted young matron, and her friend Betty Maple are in an automobile parked at the entrance of a downtown bank.
Well,
she
wouldn't come out if she knew what she was waiting for.
Oh, sure she wouldn't.
The old teacher would play around with other women's husbands.
Give her a scare she'd be forgetting a long time. That hunter was a good idea.
Yeah, but we ought to use it on her. A little tramp.
Hey, do you still feel those drinks as much as I do?
Sure. That stuff stays with you.
And now they're coming out now. Look, over there.
Yeah, sure. Alberta! Oh, Alberta! Alberta Meadows!
Hello, Clara. Hello, Betty.
Oh, come on, Alberta. Jump in. Let's go places.
Okay.
You'll find a dirty little homewrecker.
Carla, what do you mean? Just that Betty.
What do I mean?
Yeah, what do you mean? I don't understand.
Well, I'll tell you. I mean my husband. That's what I mean. You've got to let him alone. Do you get that?
You must be crazy, Clara. There's nothing between Alma and me.
No, I know different.
But I tell you this.
Shut up and listen. You can't come into my friend's house.
Oh, you're both drunk. There's no use talking to you. You let her get out of the car.
She won't get away.
Let go of me. Let me go, I say.
You're going to listen to us.
I can have you arrested for this.
Give me that thing, Betty. I'll take care of that.
Let go of me. What's that? Oh, no. I don't like it better with a black eye. Oh, you dirty little...
Don't you see
this? Get your paw off of me. Don't. No.
Late that same afternoon, Mrs. Freddy's wife is driving past the lonely spot on Montecito Street in the Lincoln Heights district when she is horrified to see the battered body of a young woman lying at the side of the road. She reports her gruesome discovery to the police, and officers Hill and Corcoran hurry to the scene, followed closely by Lieutenant Hagenbaugh and Sergeant Ross. A degenerate fiend is suspected, and a countywide search is instituted to capture him. But meanwhile, in the office of Attorney John Dehart, in the California building.
Mr. Phillips,
to see you,
Dehart. Join in, please. Hello, Armour. How's things?
I'm in an awful jam, John.
I need your advice.
Why, what's the matter?
John, you know that girl they found murdered?
Yes.
That's Alberta Meadows.
Clara killed her.
What?
Yes. Why, it's impossible, Armour.
Clara couldn't. She did. She told me.
It's insane, I know, but she was terribly jealous.
What am I going to do, John? What can I do?
There's only one thing to do.
You mean to?
Of course.
I mean surrender.
Oh, but I can't.
You've got to, Armour.
No, John.
Now listen. Gene Biscaloose, the undersheriff, is a good friend of mine. We're going up and talk to him right now.
Clara Phillips, meanwhile, has boarded a train bound for Mexico. But the sheriff's office sends out a description of her, and she is taken from the train to Tucson. Sheriff Traeger swears in his wife as a special deputy in accordance with the law requiring a woman police officer to transport a woman prisoner. Together, they journey to Tucson and bring Clara back to Los Angeles for trial. Clara and Betty each accuse the other of the actual killing. But in court, Betty turns state's evidence. And upon her testimony, Clara Phillips is found guilty of second-degree murder and sentenced to San Quentin. Her case is appealed, and she is held in the old county jail awaiting the decision of the higher court. But the case of Clara Phillips has only begun. O'Connor does the seemingly impossible and escapes. The whole country rings with the name of Led Achilles. The sergeant's office contacts every police department in the world in an effort to apprehend her. Investigators learn that a man named Johnson has effected her escape and fled with her. The Los Angeles Examiner contributes large sums of money to aid in the work of sending her pictured likeness into the far corners of the earth. But Clara Phillips seems to have dropped out of existence. Nevertheless, the sheriff's office continues its blind, apparently fruitless search for her. Then a clue comes.
Pardon me, Sheriff. Here's something on the Phillips case.
What is it? Another nut letter?
It's from a feller in Well,
here, let me have it. It's Tegucigalpa. That's the capital of Honduras, isn't it, Gene?
That's right.
You read it. Abiscalus is no more Spanish than a burger.
Well, I'll try it. Let's see. Hey, this looks like something.
What is it, Gene?
Wait till I get the rest of it. This chap's a government clerk down there, and he's reporting two American girls and a man.
The other girl would be Clara's sister. It isn't just coincidence that she disappeared right after Clara did.
Right. He says he particularly noticed them because they wore riding breeches. That apparently caused a sensation among the conservative Spaniards. He's compared the girl with the picture on our poster, and he's convinced that she's Clara Phillips.
So the road leads to Honduras. We'll wire the Honduran police to hold the suspects in custody and send us their fingerprints for verification.
The art of fingerprinting is unknown in Honduras, so the sheriff is unable to obtain definite proof that the suspect held in the Central American Republic is actually Clara Phillips. However, acting upon the chance that she is, Under Sheriff Discalouse, Walter Hunter, senior deputy of the homicide squad, and Mrs. Discalouse, sworn in as a special deputy, make the long and arduous trip to Honduras to claim the prisoner. They arrive in the sleepy little capital of the Tegucigalpa to find a temporary government in power as a result of one of the not infrequent revolutions. Accompanied by Zuniga Huerta, the Honduran Minister of Justice, they hasten to the quarters above the office of the Commandante of Police, where Clara and her sister, Mary Jane Edwards, are held.
Who is it?
It is I, Senor Huerta. May I crave the audience to you, gracious lady?
Oh, yes, Senor. Come in.
Ah, well, see, Senora. I have brought with me two gentlemen who say they are the old friends of yours.
Hello, Clara. And Mary Jane. Well, you girls are a sight for sore eyes.
Senor. Who are these men?
Oh, they say they are the friends, that they know you from Los Angeles.
Why, I never saw them before in my life.
Senores, if you have been fooling me.
Oh, that's an old dodge, Senor Reggie. Clara can't get away with it alone. She knows it's all right.
Senor Reggie, I demand that you take these strangers from my quarters at once.
Well, no prisoners can make demands in this country.
Oh, calm, gentlemen. There must be some mistake. And I might say I am angry that you have betrayed my confidence.
Oh, come on, Senor. Let's cut the comic off yourself. Listen, Clara. I want you to know that we're glad we found Mary Jane with you. Now the mystery of that jailbreak is explained.
Why, you...
Yes, Clara, you know what a stretch Mary Jane can get for aiding a fugitive from justice.
Listen, you can't pin anything on Mary Jane. She didn't help me escape from the...
I thought you'd blurt it out, Clara. Well, Senor, have we made a mistake? You've heard the lady's own confession.
Even so, I am not convinced of the lady's guilt.
Oh, is that so? Well, how have you determined her innocence?
Very simple. Anyone with such a charming sister could not be guilty.
A handy thing to have a sister, eh, Clara?
Yeah. You don't understand. Senor Waitie has been very kind. He's been a very good friend of ours.
Muchas gracias. I am happy to hear you say that, Senorita.
Nevertheless, Senor Waitie, we're going to take these ladies back to California with us.
So, there is the little matter you gentlemen forget. The extradition papers have not yet arrived from Washington. Who? The mails are so slow from the court.
Very well, we'll wait.
Well, you may wait a long time.
Okay with us, Flower. But when we go back, you're going with us, and so is Mary Jane.
My sister didn't do anything.
I know that, Flower. And I know something else. It was a guy by the name of Johnson. Where is he?
Oh, he got arrested as a revolutionist.
Can't keep out of trouble, eh? How long have you known him before he sprung you, Flower?
I never saw him before he put that ladder up to my stall window and sawed the bars.
What was the big idea, then?
He just thought I was innocent and wanted to help me.
Well, that doesn't sound very likely.
Well, true.
Yeah, we can look into that when we go back.
Oh, not when we go back, Sheriff. If we go back.
A day passed. The Los Angeles officers learn that they are in a precarious position. Zuniga Huete is openly opposed to them. The president of Honduras is friendly to them, but ineffectual. He retires to his ranch whenever a crisis arrives. Waiting becomes intolerable, but still the extradition papers fail to arrive. The American minister, Franklin Morales, visits the barracks with the Los Angeles sheriff's office.
Well, when it rains down here, it certainly comes down hard.
When you've been down here as long as I have, you'll think this is a shower. You're in the tropics now, you know.
Well, I wish we were on our way back to Los Angeles.
Oh, we're in no hurry. I'm Mary Jane for Los Angeles, but I'd like to go away from here. This place frightens me.
Is it the place or Whitey who frightens you?
Well, I should like him for all he's done for us. But when he looks at me, I feel still. Oh, don't be silly, honey.
Ah, good evening.
It's a wet evening.
Nevertheless, it is a very good evening for the two so charming ladies.
Well, what do you mean, senor?
All day long I have been debating, and I have arrived at the decision. I shall hold you here no longer. You are at liberty to leave.
Oh, really, senor?
Oh,
lady?
Thank you, senor.
Oh, it is nothing.
But you can't do this, waiter.
But I am doing it, senor.
But the law.
I am the law, senor. These ladies are free to leave the barracks.
Well, they won't go very far tonight.
Why not?
Look out the window. The rain's coming down in sheets, and the street's a river of mud.
Well, we've been here long enough that one more night won't kill us. But we'll leave in the morning.
Perhaps that is better. In the morning, when the rain has stopped, I shall personally escort you to the hotel. And now, when you're close, and do not look so angry with me, my friend. One must be gallant to a lady, no?
Well, what are we going to do now?
I don't know, Jim.
There's only one thing to do, boys.
What's that, Morales?
Get her out of here tonight. Extradition papers or no extradition papers?
Oh, no, you don't.
Oh, yes, we do. Now, listen here, Clara. We haven't got extradition papers, so we can't take you without your permission. But you're going to give us that permission right now.
Hey, you think I'm crazy?
No, you're going to be sensible.
Look at it this way, Clara. We've got nothing against you, personally. We pass no judgment. We aren't concerned with whether you're innocent or guilty. But you've been convicted in California. And it's our job, our duty, to bring you back there. And that's what we've got to do.
What do I care about the duty? I'm not going.
Oh, yes, you are. And here's why. You have no money, have you?
Not much.
All right, get this. When the extradition papers come, you're going with us, Huete or no Huete. Mr. Morales will back me up in saying that once we get those papers, Washington will raise Holy King with Huete until he has to give you up.
That's right, Clara.
Now, we have nothing against Mary Jane. And we have no official funds to take her back to California. If you come with us now, we'll take Mary Jane along. But if you complicate things, we'll leave her here, where Senor Huete will probably continue his gallant attentions to us.
Oh, you wouldn't leave me here alone. I'd die.
Think it over, Clara. It's tough for an attractive young American girl stranded in the tropics. You've probably seen the women around the cantinas.
Well, not Mary Jane, Clara. I'm afraid. Okay, boys. You win. I'll go with you.
That's the stuff, Clara. You play ball with us, and we'll make things as easy as possible for you and Mary Jane. What's the next move, Mr. Morales?
We'll have to work fast. There's a lot to do. Now, this rain will be over by morning. You better plan to leave at daylight for the coast. There's only a few automobiles in the town. I'll take care of hiring two of the fastest. They'll probably cost $500.
Ooh, that's pretty steep rental.
I know it. We've got to pay off in all directions down here. How about the local police force?
Well, those ragged barefoot Indians?
You can be killed, but just as dead by a barefoot Indian as by anyone else, Walter.
Right you are, Biscuit. We'll have to do something about them.
Let's hire them to be our guard.
What do you mean?
I've got an idea. They've been laughing at me for packing a flock of old deputy badgers around. But I think I've got a use for them.
I don't follow you.
Oh, what? Hey, you! There's you! There, with you, all of you. Bring our keys and do some puzzling.
Look, Gene, did you ever see a group of men like that in all your life?
Never.
These amigos, Senor Morales, he's Senor Biscalouz, and I have just been trained to do as fine a bunch of police officers as we've ever seen. Well, anyhow, we certainly wish we had you working for the county of Los Angeles.
Hey,
you see, my friend agrees with you. You see this badge?
Oh, see, it is good badge, Senor.
Well, if you worked for the county of Los Angeles, each of you would have a badge like this. And the county of Los Angeles would pay you well. A half dollar a day. Un peso garabia.
A peso garabia.
And I just wanted you to know that we recognize fine policemen when we see them.
Senor, we would like very much to work for the county of Los Angeles.
You would?
See.
Fine. Here are your badges. Now we leave for Puerto Cortez at daybreak. You come with us. You'll be our guard. Father Ramos for the mañana.
Stealing out of Tegucigalpa at daybreak, the oddly assorted party slowly makes its way along the tortuous, mud-rutted highway toward the coast. Over rocky mountain passes and through reeking jungles, they push the laboring automobiles. At one point of the exhausting journey, they are ambushed by hostile natives. But finally, the squat building Puerto Cortez appears at the water's edge beneath them. Eager to reach the comfort of a hotel, they increase their speed.
Oh,
what's the matter?
Guy with a gun in the center of the road, flagging us.
Ariete! Ariete! Well, in the name of the Republic of Honduras.
What's the matter?
These ladies, they are Senora Felipe, the Senorita Edwards.
Yes, they are.
They are to be placed under arrest.
Who says so?
The Minister of Justice. I have a telegram from Zuniga Huete. His instructions are very clear. The ladies are to be held in a Moa prison, so that you gentlemen may be relieved of guarding them, and you may view our beautiful harbor.
Gee, it looks bad.
Yeah.
I'm at the far from time. Oh, Senor Capitan.
Eh?
As you can see, the ladies are very tired. Won't you permit them to retire to the hotel for a while?
Well, I do not know, Senor. It is very irregular. Very well. But I shall accompany them, for they are under arrest in the name of the Republic of Honduras.
Sheriff Biscalouz and the American consul in Puerto Cortez immediately wire the American minister in Tegucigalpa, who gets the order to place the women in a war prison countermanded. Instead, Zelda and her sister are held in the guard at the hotel. Their guard is the same officer who had stopped them on the road. During the day, he consumes quantities of Tegucigalpa. And that night in the hotel cantina, he acts the gallant with Zelda.
Senora, you are a most beautiful woman. The most beautiful woman in the world.
Get alone with the family. I wonder what he wants.
Senora, I would be honored if he would come to my hacienda in the evening as my guest.
Oh, Senor, how
did I? You are under arrest? Senora, I will tell you a secret. You are not under arrest any longer. The Supreme Court of Honduras, but this afternoon, released on the writ of habeas corpus.
You hear that, Walter?
Yes.
We've got to work fast. We've got to get her to sign a waiver.
Yes, but how?
I've got an idea. Come on. Well, Clara.
Yes?
Will you step out on the porch a moment? I want to talk to you.
Oh, very well. Pardon me, Senor Capitan.
Ay, Dios mío. I died without your praise.
Well, I heard what that monkey said.
Well, what of it? You can't touch me now. I'm free.
Yes, I understand that, Clara. But I want you to come back to Los Angeles with us willingly.
You think I'm crazy?
You're crazy if you don't.
Listen, Clara. You haven't much dough, and you can't go very far. No matter where you do go, Walter and I will be right with you. We'll extradite you from any country in the world. We'll hound you. If you refuse to leave here, I'll send my wife back to Los Angeles and stay right here near you. If you go to another country, I'll follow you. I'll have you extradited. I'll stick on your trail for the rest of my life.
Yes, but you...
There isn't any part about it, Clara. That's what you've got faith in you. Sure, Whitey likes you and your sister. Now, he'll get tired of you. The government will change, and then you'll be out in the cold. If you ask me, you're picking a devil of a life to lead.
Maybe you're right, but you can't make me go.
I know that.
You know.
But you'll wish you had. Life down here with the law after you won't be much fun.
Well,
what do you say?
Well,
come on, give me your answer, Clara.
I'll tell you what I'll do, Sheriff. I'll go with you.
Fine. Now you're being comfortable.
But on two conditions.
What are they?
First, that you'll tell everyone that I came back of my own free will.
Certainly.
And second, that if I come up for parole, you won't stand in my way of getting it.
I promise, Clara.
Then, it's a bargain.
The following morning, arrangements are made to return on a fruit boat sailing that day. The loading is hurried so that no more technical slips of the amazing government of Honduras may detain the departure. Finally, there remains but the detail of paying off the private army Sheriff Hunter has hired. He lines up the motley crowd on the wharf.
They are on the team, mis soldados. Attention! We are going to return to Los Angeles, so we will tell you your money now. You have been very good soldiers. You may keep your badges.
But, senor, we wish to go back to the Los Angeles with you.
I'm sorry, my friends. There's no more room on the boat.
Oh, but we will sleep on the deck, senor. We will guard you in the Los Angeles.
I'm afraid we cannot take you, amigos.
But, senor, we like to work in the county of Los Angeles.
Human and water. They turn on us now with
tongues. Amigos, I have a duty you must still perform for the county of Los Angeles.
What is this, Juan, senor?
It is very important. You must guard the wharf until the boat is safe. And if you'll do that, well, maybe someday we can send for him.
Oh, see, boy, see, boy. See, all right, we got the work, senor. And we wait for you, see.
Well, that's that. Come on, Clara. Come on, Mary Jane. We're off for Los Angeles at last.
One more ludicrous incident in the bizarre story of the capture of Clara Phillips occurred when the ship on which she was being brought back to the United States was detained at New Orleans on suspicion of being a rum runner. However, when this complication was solved, Clara Phillips was quickly transported to San Quentin Prison, whence she was transferred to the New Woman's Prison at Tehachapi. The arm of the law is long. It is tireless. It is positive in its final effect. The ingenuity of the hunted criminal, who has all society against him, calls for the highest type of resourcefulness and intelligence in the peace officers who guard the interests of you citizens and the Los Angeles Police Department, as including some of the finest detectives in the world.
Thank you, Chief Davis.
Ladies and gentlemen, now is the time of year when car owners in Southern California and Arizona can get the most pleasure out of their machines. There are mountains, deserts, beaches, lakes. In fact, almost any beauty of nature is within short driving distance. But to make these trips easier on you and your car, why not switch to Rio Grande cracked gasoline with tetraethyl? The gasoline that has proved its superiority by the fact that it powers more police cars, ambulances, fire engines, motorcycles, and other emergency equipment in Southern California and Arizona than all other brands combined. For best results with crack, may we suggest that you try Sinclair Opaline Motor Oil. This great oil comes to you in tamper-proof, extra-major cans. It's extra-refined to give you longer life, yet costs only 25 cents per quart, the price of ordinary bulk oil.
Southern Police calling all cars, attention all cars. Cancellation broadcast 21. The murderer of Alberta Meadows now in custody. That's all. Rolls and clips.
This is Frederick Lindsley saying good night.